Welcome to Eternal Vigilance. I am your host, Justin Premium. You are listening to ForAllOfUs.com. Thank you for joining me this morning. Thank you for joining me in the rebroadcast whenever this gets downloaded. Today's the day for me. We'll be going to the protest about 30, 40 miles here from where I'm living and down in Statesville, North Carolina. And the protest starts at 12, so I won't be doing 2 hours today. I'm just going to do one. The anniversary of 9/11 was yesterday, so today's topic is going to be 9/11 was an inside job. Unfortunately, I only have an hour to talk about this, but in this hour, I'm going to lead you through a little bit of a personal experience with the events of that day, and we'll just talk about some of the events, some of the facts, some of the myths, some of the propaganda that's been on the TV here lately, some of the movies that have covered this event, the researchers that are covering this event, the documentary filmmakers that have covered this event, and basically what this means to the American people and what this means into the history of the world. This was the this was one of the worst things that ever happened in humanity, I believe. And one of the reasons I do believe that is not because of the loss of life. The loss of life was only 3,000 people. You know, there were more people that died at, you know, the Battle of Gettysburg than that day. But the propagation of what happened that day is just absolutely awful. I mean, all the rights that were taken away, all the things that are going to be, that were born out of this absolute farce and atrocity. What you really have to do is, if you don't know 9/11 was an inside job, I guess the best thing to do is to start with false flag terror. If you start with false flag terror attacks, then it's going to be easier for you to understand exactly what's going on with governments and the reason that they commit false flag terror. False flag terror is something that happens when a government wants to perpetrate a terrorist attack on its own soil, on its own citizens, on its own military personnel, whatever the case may be. The attack comes because there's an agenda that needs to be done. There's an agenda that the puppet masters have at work. And 9/11 was a false flag terror attack. And it's been proven over and over and over again. There's millions of Americans, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think that it exists. It's unfortunate that a lot of Americans feel that way. It's unfortunate that they're not willing to make the journey, because it is a journey. You know, I'm not going to be able to have a one-hour conversation with anybody and probably convince them that 9/11 was an inside job. It is a task. It is a journey. It's something that you're going to have to find out for yourself. Because if you're not willing to look at all the information, if you're not willing to watch the documentary, read the briefs, read all the documents, I mean, you're not going to make this trip unless you're ready to open up your mind and be willing to accept that there's things you don't know, things you don't understand, and things that you've been lied to that you believe. I mean, it's the most incredible journey I've ever taken in my mind. I was a Kool-Aid drinker back in 2001. I was 21 years old. I was working at a retail store, just a little menial job, didn't pay much. I worked there full time. That morning, you know, I was out on the floor, doing my stock work, and, one of the girls I worked with, she was older than me at the time. She was in her 40s. She comes flying around the corner, yelling at the top of her lungs, "We've been attacked! We've been attacked!" And I dropped what I was doing, and I took off running in her direction. I said, "What are you talking about? What are you talking about?" And we had just had a TV put in our break room probably a couple of days earlier, and I went back there, and one of the trade towers was already up in a puff of smoke, and it was burning. And we stood there, and there was only five of us there that morning, early shift. And it was the manager and four employees, and that's counting myself. And, you know, the manager's just sitting there really acting kind of like, you know, whatever, no big deal. And she told us, you know, y'all need to go back to work. And I was like, there's nobody in the store, you know. There's nobody in the store. I don't, you know. I'm automatically aggravated with her because of her nonchalant attitude of, you know, what are y'all freaking out about, you know. And we're freaking out because, you know, New York City is under attack, you know. And then they're saying on the TV, you know, oh, we've been hit. And we're hit by what? We was hit by a plane. And we're just standing there in complete shock. I mean, I'm reliving the whole moment in my mind right now. I can feel what I was feeling that day. I could feel the shock and the terror and the sadness. And I mean, we're standing there and we're basically fussing with this manager about, you know, y'all go back out on the floor. And we're like, no, you know, shit. How dare you tell us to just get out of here? I mean, we want to see what's going on. I mean, we're in shock. I mean, that's the only way to describe it, is that we were in complete shock. And, you know, I'm sitting there, standing, the coffee pot's about 15 feet from the TV, and I'm standing there trying to pour me some coffee. And, the next thing I know, bam, another plane flies right into the building. You know, I dropped my coffee right on the floor and, splashed up on my leg and burned myself. I mean, we're all back there. Now I'm the only man in the room. It's me and all the female coworkers, and everybody's crying. Except me. I'm in complete shock. I mean, when the next plane hit, one of the girls actually screamed out loud, like in terror. You know, I mean, it was surreal. It was something that, you know, it's a total assault on the senses, and it's a total assault on your mind, because when you're seeing all this, you're like, oh my God, I can't, you know, I was only 21 at the time, and, you know, I was pretty immature for a 21-year-old, I think. But, you know, I was sitting there and I was like, oh my God, I just, you know, I can't believe it. I just can't believe what's going on. And, you know, by this time, you know, the manager's getting a little bitchy and she's like, you know, we can't stand back here all morning. Somebody's got to be up front. Somebody's got to be out there on the floor. We've got to get out of here. Come on, let's go. So, when back then, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of, people had cell phones, but the internet on cell phones back in 2001 is not what it was today. I remember I was standing up front helping a customer, and back in 2001, the two-way was real popular. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but basically it was your first form of text messaging without actually a phone. It was just a pocket keyboard, and, this guy came in and he had a CNN News Blitz on his, two-way. And he stood there with me for about an hour, and he just stood there and he was reading off every CNN update that was coming through. Next thing that comes through not too long later is the word came out about the Pentagon. Then the next thing you know, we're starting to hear about a flight that was that had crashed somewhere in Pennsylvania. I mean, two of the women that I was working with, like, they punched out, didn't even ask for permission to leave, and, like, went and got their kids and pulled them out of school. I mean, that's how dire and that's how drastic it was. I mean, it was absolutely just unbelievable. I mean, the effect on your mind was just, it was incredible, because you just couldn't believe that here in America that we had just been attacked. Now, to set up the situation that was pretty much going on in America back in 2001, a lot of people don't remember. You know, my wife is 23 years old, so when this happened, she was a lot younger than I was at the time. You know, my daughter, my first daughter was only 4, so I mean, there's nothing that she remembered about it. You know, I got a lot of friends. A lot of my wife's friends are younger than me, but only by about 4 or 5 years. And, you know, a lot of them just don't, you know, well, I just don't remember a lot about that day, blah, blah, blah. So I'm dealing with a generation of people that really just haven't, you know, been that exposed to this kind of information and this kind of truth. I mean, it's absolutely astonishing to me. I want to read you the definition of false flag right quick, just to put this on the record. False flag operations are covert operations conducted by governments, corporations, or other organizations which are designed to deceive the public in such a way that the operations appear as though they are being carried out by other entities. The name is derived from the military concept of flying false flag colors, that is, flying a flag of a country of another one's own, and the flag operations are not limited to war and counterinsurgence operations, and have been used in peacetime, for example, during Italy's Italian strategic, Italia's strategy of tension. I'm not quite sure. I'm not familiar with that operation, but, and I'm just reading you that off Wikipedia, so I just want to put that on record as well. But no, the political situation back around 2000, you know, you've got Al Gore, who's running out of the Clinton administration, and then you've got Baby Bush, you know, who's been a governor of Texas, who killed more people as governor in Texas, execution through, he executed more people as governor of Texas than any other governor in every other state put together the time he was governor, which means he executed and killed more people on death row than every other state put together since the time he was a governor. So that's the kind of guy you were dealing with Bush. So everybody knows about the voter fraud in Florida. All right, so George Bush steals the election, absolutely steals the election from Al Gore. You know, and in 2001, I had no idea what the New World Order was. I watched wrestling when I was in high school. You know, the New World Order to me was a bunch of goon wrestlers that had gotten together and named themselves an organization, and then they were going around taking wrestling. So that's what I thought the New World Order was, you know. I had no idea about the military-industrial complex. You know, I had no idea about the Federal Reserve, you know, Zionist central banking goons. Haven't read anything about the Rockefellers. Had no idea who the Rothschilds were. You know, I just, you know, all this information was oblivious to me. I mean, it was absolutely just out of my realm of my even thought process at the time. So I remember Bush, he stole the election, he got in, Congress booed him, you know, the Supreme Court finally passed it and put his sorry ass into office. And then the first, you know, 9 or 10 months he's president, well, I guess it was 9 months, first 9 months he was president, he spent very little time in Washington. He stayed out there on that ranch, he gave interviews holding shotguns and hunting out there on his ranch. I mean, he came off like an ignorant redneck. You know, and that's quite an indictment coming from someone who lives in North Carolina with a thick Southern accent like I have. But yeah, I mean, he come off like just an ignorant, good old boy, rich, puke redneck. I mean, just a corporate elitist whose daddy had been involved who was the head of the CIA. He was in the CIA when Kennedy was assassinated. He was the vice president for 8 years, and then he was a piss poor puke of a president for 4 years himself. So this is what Bush grew up in. You know, Bush's daddy, Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, was a senator and also was a corporate banker. And a lot of people don't know this, but Prescott Bush was indicted by the American government for helping the Nazis with he washed about $50 million for the Nazis. So he was a Nazi sympathizer, an American senator, whose son became vice president. Well, just to run down his credentials, he was in the CIA, then the head of the CIA, then a vice president, then the president, then the third generation of scumbag Bushes. You know, here we got George Bush Jr., which is he's a complete moron, can't read. I mean, how in the hell did this man ever go to Yale or Harvard or wherever he went? I mean, it's just amazing to me. But that was the political tone back in 2001. We had a president that the country didn't trust, that everybody felt like, well, we've been shamed. We've been shamed. This guy stole an election. You know, what are we going to do now? I mean, we're just going to put up with this jerk for the next 4 years? I mean, there was a lot of dissension in America just because of and it wasn't just from, you know, Democrats. It was from this is what people don't understand. You know, that Democrat-Republican crap, you know, there's over 100 million people that don't vote. They don't vote because they know there's no real choice. You know, all these people are work for corporate America. So all these people work for corporate America, so this is what you have to deal with. this is what you're dealing with all these scumbags that don't have your best interest at heart. They have corporate media interest at heart. So that's what you're dealing with. So to move on with what I was saying, so then you've got false flag terror. Now, it's really hard for people to try to understand, well, why would our government do this? Why would it's not our government. It's a shadow government. It's a shadow part of this governmental society, some deep inside, in the upper echelons of the intelligence agency, the upper echelons of the Pentagon, the NSA. I've got no doubt in my mind that Bush and Cheney knew all about it. You know, this was part of the New World Order propaganda, plan for America. They had to have this. They had to have this because their administration was hated. I mean, they were absolutely hated. And if you don't remember what happened a couple months after 9/11, it was hooray. You know, I told you I worked at a retail store. Well, within weeks of 9/11, we've got American flags, we've got support our troops shirts, we've got little pendants, we've got the big huge flags, the little tiny desktop flags, we've got mouse pads that say support our troops, God bless America, land of the free, home of the brave. I mean, it was just a complete propaganda role of people just that had completely bought into all this madness. And I was too. I mean, I absolutely did. I mean, as soon as they got on TV and said it was Muslim terrorist and Bin Laden was behind it, I was like, well, let's go get that son of a bitch. You know, if this is the guy that attacked America, I want him dead. I'd kill him myself if he was in front of me. That's how upset I was. And then, you know, a lot of people I know started joining the military and they started joining the Marine Corps, and a couple guys that I went to school with, they went into the Army, the Air Force, the Navy. I mean, I was in Air Force ROTC for several years in high school, and thought about joining and decided not to at the last minute. And I can tell you for a fact, 10 people I know from high school joined the services, one of the four services. So, I mean, they went in, and some of them saw combat. I mean, it's extremely unfortunate that happened. And the reason I say that is because now I know it was unfortunate because we were lied to. We were completely lied to. This whole thing was a farce. There were no Muslim terrorists. Osama bin Laden had nothing to do with the events of 9/11. I can tell you that from all the research that I've come across. Osama bin Laden, there was a CIA operative that got on the TV in December of 2001, said he was 98% sure that Osama bin Laden had died. He was on kidney dialysis in 2001 and got treated. Now, this is a guy who's been on the FBI's Most Wanted since 1993, okay? They blamed him for the first time they tried to blow up the World Trade Center in 93 with their little piss-poor attempt. Which taught them basically everything they needed to know to go around and do it the second time. So, so this guy was supposed to be on the FBI's Most Wanted list since 1993, but he received kidney dialysis in a U.S. military hospital in Dubai 2 weeks before 9/11. Why? Why? I mean, this guy's been on the CIA payroll since the 80s, all right? He's been a CIA asset since the 80s. The Bush family and the Bin Laden family have more corporate oil ties than any other corporation entity that the Bushes are involved in oil. The Bin Ladens, and that's the one thing that you have to understand. Osama bin Laden has about, between brothers, uncles, and other male family members, cousin, there's about 30 or 40 of them. And that's what I'm saying. It's brothers, uncles, and cousins, stuff like that. So all the Bin Laden and the Bush family have been intertied and intermarried in the oil business for over 20, 30 years. Okay, it might even been longer than that. So Bin Laden's been a patsy for the American government before. All right, so here's something else you have to understand too. You know, two planes flying into two 111-story buildings will not bring them to the ground at free fall speeds within a matter of, what was it? The first one fell in, an hour and 15 minutes, and I think the second one was like 40. The second tower that got hit was the first one to fall. So that's another thing that makes no sense. If they're going to say that, oh, well, it had 10,000 gallons of jet fuel in it or 18,000 gallons of jet fuel in it, and it just melted all the steel structures, and the building pancaked and fell at free fall speed. Yeah, bullshit. It's not, especially when you watch movies like Loose Change, when you can see the bomb squeals going all the way down the side. Now, if you got to do some research about what a squeal is, not a squeal, but I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but when a building is blown, when the columns were blown into demolition, when that building started falling, there's windows about 10 stories below the fall point every time that are blowing out. Well, the reason that they're blowing out is because the bombs are going off. Boom, 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 and it just starts pancake falling, okay? So let's get one thing straight. There's no way physically, it's physically impossible for these planes to have been flown in these buildings and these buildings to fall in less than an hour and a half apiece, less than an hour and a half apiece at free fall speeds. Now, if the top half of the building would have just fell, you know, that would have been more believable. But the people who did this, they had to infiltrate. Now, here's another thing that people don't know. That don't know 9/11 was an inside job. Marvin Bush, George Bush's brother, was head of security for the World Trade Centers for years. Head of security. The president's brother, head of security for the World Trade Center for years. Okay? Another thing people don't know. The World Trade Center was built by the Rockefellers back in the 70s. Okay? Now, it was built by the Rockefellers back in the 70s, and the land lease on these buildings was owned by a private corporation for years and years and years. And 2 weeks before 9/11, 2 weeks, or was it 6 weeks? 6 weeks, 6 weeks, I'm sorry. 6 weeks before 9/11, a private Jewish business owner named Larry Silverstein came along, squealed. Okay, thank you. And Larry Silverstein came along, and he bought the rights for these buildings. Now, this was a hundreds of billions of dollar contract. Okay, he paid a very small percentage to get the rights to that building. I think he ended up paying less than a couple million dollars or something like that. He paid like a real low percentage to get the rights to these buildings. Okay, now he took out, because the buildings had been bombed in 1993, he took out the largest private insurance policy that had ever been placed in the history of America. $100 billion insurance policy on each building. Each building. Terrorist insurance. Terrorist insurance on these buildings 6 weeks before they got bombed. They've been owned by the same corporation since the day that they were built, and 6 weeks before the attack, they're sold to Larry Silverstein for 1% of the $200 billion contract to buy them. He takes out a $200 billion insurance policy on the buildings, and 6 weeks later, now Larry Silverstein, you have to understand, has ties to the Mossad. If you don't know what the Mossad is, the CIA equivalent of Israel's intelligence service. But what people don't understand is MI5, MI6, Mossad, and CIA are all owned and ran by the same people. All right, the international banking cartels. Sounds like we're going to break, guys. I'll see you on the other side. listening to forallofus.com, the term of Justin Prim, and if you are listening, you are the resistance.
International call at daily 6 p.m. GMT. Call +1 4255 167 485. That's 4255 167 485. A to Z of topics: alibi, Bible, criminals, deception, extraordinary rendition, food, global, holocaust, injustice, justice, Knights of Malta, love, money, net neutrality, opinions, propaganda, Queen Elizabeth, RFID chips, socialism, terrorism, UFOs, violence, WMD, Xena, youth, zeitgeist, or a topic of your choosing. Join us on
The Word.
Hello there, I'm the Easter Bunny.
Our products will make your life better.
Howdy, I'm Santa Claus.
Our products will make your life better.
A vote for us is a vote for your children.
Our products will make your life better.
Brought to you by Blah Blah Corp, a family company.
Our products will make your life better!
I used to have a sad, pathetic life until I started using this miracle cream.
Our products will make your life better!
Stop. Stop. Stop, please stop. Thank you. You know, there really is no room for that stuff on this network. Cue the music, please. Introducing For All of Us Interactive Media. If you want fresh, we've got it. If you want upbeat, we've got it. If you want honest quality content, guess what? We've got it. For All of Us Interactive Media is the platform. What's really important is who and what is on the platform. Our spectacular hosting and support team complement one another with oodles of talent, knowledge, and passion. Their combined effort to produce original, thought-provoking content is obvious, and we are confident that you will enjoy our hard work. Remember to tell your friends about forallofus.com, the home of For All of Us Interactive Media.
You know, I'm a retired detective, you know, and I was always one that had to ask the question, you know, it was like, who benefits? Cui bono, you know? And I gotta ask you, how come nobody does the job that Bob and Elizabeth do on Subterranean Homesick News, played at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on For All of Us on the Internet? How come?
Day and night, I toss and turn, I keep stressing my mind. I look for peace, but see I don't attain. What I need for keys, this silly game we play. Now look at this. Madness, the magnet keeps attracting me. I try to run, but see, I'm not that fast. I think I'm first, but surely finish last. Cause day and night, the lonely stoner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone through the day and night. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night, day and night, the lonely stoner seems to free.
Welcome back to Eternal Vigilance. I am your host, Justin Primm. The network you're listening to is forallofus.com, and if you are listening, you are the resistance. I'm going to finish up what I was saying here in a few minutes. I want to throw a couple of things out there. I'm on Facebook. If you want to contact me on Facebook, I'm starting to build my Facebook page a little bit. Got a little over 600 friends now. That makes me happy because about 2 weeks ago I only had about 300. So my page is growing. And if you just go to Facebook and type in Eternal Vigilance, I'm the only one. So you can find me there. I'm also on MySpace under Justin Primm. You can see my page. It's got all the video downloads on there. And it says Revolution on it. And that's what I'm all about, a revolution of the mind, body, and soul, and freedom and liberty inside this country and inside the walls of the whole world. That's what, freedom and liberty is the right of every human being. And unfortunately, as human beings, we've had to set up societies and governments to achieve our goals. And 9 times out of 10, or 99% of the time, our governments end up taking over us. And it's unfortunate, but you can also email me at eternalvigilance1776@gmail.com. That's eternalvigilance1776@gmail.com. So those are some of the ways to get in touch with me. I've been talking with the guy who owns the station here for a few months about doing some more time. And my circumstances have not let me do more time on the station yet. I want to be able to go on at least three times a week. So I'm thinking maybe Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays is what I'm trying to do right now. I got a wife and 2 kids, and I'm gonna have to work that out with my family situation before I can make the commitment on Patriot Radio to do more and reach more people. But that's what I want to do, and those are my goals, and that's what I want to be involved in. Just another brief announcement too. Eternal Vigilance will only be 1 hour today. There's a protest in Statesville about 30 miles from where I live at 12 o'clock. So we're going to cut this off about 11. And I will see y'all later on this week and get back in touch with you. When we went to break, I was talking about Larry Silverstein. Larry Silverstein has ties to international banks. He has ties to the Wall Street. He is a rich Jewish businessman. With ties to Zionist corporations, ties to the Mossad. He's not only been part of the Israeli intelligence service, he has family that was involved with him as well. So this man buys the contract for the World Trade Center, and he takes out the largest insurance policy that's ever been taken out in the history of the world, $200 billion insurance policy. That he cashed in right after it was announced that it was a terrorist attack. This man's net worth, he's worth hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, he's not hurting for anything. He's probably one of the richest. He is one of the richest men in this country, but you don't get to hear about him. You know, he's not on TV. He's not a national figure like Warren Buffett or Ted Turner or Bill Gates. You know, he's one of those behind-the-scenes rich, evil old bastards. He also gave a PBS interview a couple years after 9/11 saying that it was his decision to pull the World Trade Center 7 building. Now, that's another thing that a lot of people don't think about. You know, it's real easy for you to laugh at people that say, oh, 9/11 was an inside job. If you don't want to believe it, that's fine. But if you won't look at any of the evidence either, you're a fool. You're a fool, and you've kept yourself in a state of placed ignorance because, you know, and here's the biggest difference between me and other people. If someone was hollering something at the top of their lungs and I absolutely 100% disagreed, did not believe what they were saying, and actually if the things they were saying would make me mad, the difference between me and other people is I would want to know why these people feel the way they do. You know, I would want to know. But, you know, people aren't willing to make that journey because they're scared of where it will take them. You know, you've got all these Republicans out here that are Obama haters, you know, when Bush was a window-licking retard and couldn't and was no better at anything he did, you know. So, but that buys into the right-left paradigm. That's people just believing that, oh, hey, this puppet on the left looks better to me, I'll go with him. Or, no, this puppet on the right looks better to me, I'll go with him, you know, conservative, liberal. What you're not looking at is both of these puppets are being ran by the same evil banking corporate Wall Street interest that has ran this government for over 100 years. I mean, rich and wealthy men have always, always played in the political realm because it can make them richer and more powerful. So it's not a hard concept to understand. A lot of people just don't want to get into it because they don't want to believe that this government could be so corrupt. All governments are corrupt. All governments left unchecked are corrupt. You know, and Silverstein cashed in. And, I mean, let's talk about a lot of things that happened that day. NORAD stood down under the command of Dick Cheney. So, and not to mention that they were running national drills that day, national terrorist drills. You know, so the all the military is on full alert. You know, every military facet of this government, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Army, they were all on alert that day because they were running, you know, terror drills in preparation for something like this. Okay, well, something like this happens, and then the order's given from Dick Cheney for NORAD to stand down. Why would NORAD stand down if we were under attack? And then Bush was in that classroom that day, and somebody was walking in there and telling him that, you know, the first tower got hit, the second tower got hit, and, you know, and when this country's under attack, the president should be carted off and put into a safe place. You know, that's supposed to be the drills, but that's not what was done. He stood there and finished watching that teacher read the book to the kids, got up, left, hopped on Air Force One, and flew around unescorted for hours. Unescorted? Okay, the country is under attack, supposedly, right? And then Air Force One flies around for a couple hours unescorted. No F-16s, no armed jets flying beside of it, no military aircraft personnel guarding the president or Air Force One. Nope. He just flying around on the phone with Dick. Oh, hey, did NORAD stand down? Yep, good. Well, we'll just go ahead and ground all the flights here and call all the bin Ladens. You know, we're gonna blame this on Osama. We call all the rest of the rich, wealthy, you know, billionaire Obama, bin Ladens living in America. We're gonna make sure they've got safe flights out of the country in the next 24 hours. And he did that. That's exactly what he did. And here's what you gotta understand too. When you research something like 9/11, you have to research every facet of it. And one of the things that I didn't understand was what a negative bet on the stock market would do. Well, when you place a negative bet on the stock market, you're betting against a stock, okay? When you buy stock, you're buying stock because you want it to go up. But these crooks have their system set up to where you can place a negative bet on the stock market. Well, you know, Deutsche Bank is one of the largest private banks in the whole world. It's owned by rich, wealthy private bankers like Rockefellers, Rothschilds, the Queen of England, the House of Windsor, so on and so forth. Well, all these shell companies through Deutsche Bank had bet billions of dollars against American Airlines stock and other airline stock. So what happened in the next week after 9/11? All the planes have been put down. So every day that an airline is down, they lose millions of dollars. Millions of dollars a day. Millions of dollars a day every time an airline is down. Okay? So every time an airline is down, they lose millions of dollars a day. So if someone placed a negative bet against an airline, all airlines, a bunch of airlines, that were down for over a week, well, then someone made billions of dollars. All right. So this is what you got to understand. Not only did Halliburton, you know, which Dick Cheney was, you know, in the upper echelons of the board of directors, CEO, or something like that for years and years and years, the Carlyle Group, which is owned by the Bush family, which is huge investors in the Halliburton. So not only did the military-industrial complex make a shitload of money off 9/11. Because, okay, so now we've been attacked, supposedly. Now we're getting ready to go to war. So now there's got to be a defense contract that gets bid on. Well, you know, in a perfect world, you know, several companies get to bid on this contract, and the one that makes the lowest bid gets the contract. Well, Halliburton was the only company that got to bid on the war contract in 2001, and of course they got it, and they got about, oh, a couple trillion dollars, you know, right there, close to $1 trillion in their war contract. So as soon as we went to war and Halliburton got that big, huge, defense contract from the U.S. government, well, that made, Dick Cheney and the Bush family, oh, you know, that made them from, you know, being billionaires to worth, you know, tens of billions of dollars. So congratulations to them. It's a great scheme. I'm glad they ran it and they got to make all the money, and the American people get to be fools and refuse to believe and see the truth of what's been going on for the last 8 years. Oh, and then the Patriot Act, you know, it gets slid into Congress, you know, within a week or two of 9/11, and all the congressmen that stand up and say, hey, this bill is going to shred our civil liberties. It's going to shred the Constitution. It's going to piss on the Bill of Rights. And they're just like, no, we're under attack. We need this. We have to deal with terrorists now. We can't deal with you questioning our judgment. Pass it, you know. And then, excuse me. Then, I mean, it's insanity. I mean, all this stuff is insanity. I can't, you know, at the time, I just bought so into this shit. I mean, I was just such a Kool-Aid drinker, and I was listening to all the crap they were saying on TV, and, you know, I was working at that retail shop, and it's support Bush, and support Bush and Cheney, and support our troops, and God bless America, and then they started making all these t-shirts, Bin Laden wanted dead or alive, and, I mean, what kind of shit? I mean, I can't believe that the American people live and die in front of that TV. I mean, we take so much crap and information, and it's all BS. I can go turn on that TV right now and pick any station in there, and they're just trying to sell me something. But see, when they wanted to go to war, then they started selling us lies. I mean, they started selling us blatant bullshit, just like in 2003. Saddam Hussein's got weapons of mass destruction. No, he don't. And all the bombs and guns that he had back in the 80s, the American government sold him. Rumsfeld went over there and sold him weapons, too. I mean, and then this is the kind of shit that they're going to tell, oh, well, he's got weapons. He had UN sanctions on him for almost 10 years. That country, the people in that country were starving and going broke because the United Nations had put all these sanctions on him, and he didn't have a pot to piss in. And, he did because he was hoarding all the oil, but he had sold all these weapons and got rid of them. Then they started saying, well, he's in direct links to Al-Qaeda. No, he's not. Bin Laden and Saddam Hussein actually fought each other back in the 80s. I mean, these are two people that hated each other. And he's like, oh, well, he's harboring terrorists. No, he's not. You never proved it. And then you've got such a crooked government that gets on TV and says, well, you know, the other representatives and congressmen and senators say, well, where's the proof, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, where's the proof? And then you got Colin Powell, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Bush all going on TV. Well, we can't show you the proof. We can't show you the proof because it's a matter of national security. So you can just tell us anything you want to. Say it's a matter of national security, and we'll just buy that shit and not ask you any more questions. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everybody that can hear my voice right now, if you don't believe 9/11 was an inside job, and you've not watched the documentaries, you've not read the briefs, you've not talked to the hundreds of firemen and police officers and read their briefs, listening to their live testimony on the documentaries, that they heard bombs, that, you know, here's the thing you got to understand. If the 9/11 Commission report had put in there that, you know, well, there's bombs in the building, blah, blah, blah. Why would they lie about the bombs? Why would they tell us that jet fuel dropped these buildings at free fall speeds less than an hour and a half after being hit, which is complete BS, and not tell us about the bombs in the building? Why would they not do that? Why would they not do that and just say, well, yeah, they must have infiltrated the towers as well? Because it's all a lie. They're hiding something. They're absolutely, positively hiding something 100%. And that's what people don't understand. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe in false flag terror, even though we did it to perpetrate World War I. We did it in World War II when we let the Japanese bomb us. The Australian Navy had warned us a week before the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and FDR sat on his hands because he couldn't wait to get into the war. He wanted into that war so bad he could taste it. And then the Gulf of Tonkin in Vietnam. Hell, McNamara had gone on record years and years after Vietnam and said that the Gulf of Tonkin was a made-up farce. It was a complete lie. It didn't even happen. They just said it happened, and it was, you know, 10,000 miles away off somewhere in the jungle, and then, you know, they go right into war. War is money. War is big business. That's exactly what it is. Anybody would say, well, I just don't believe that, you know, our politicians could be that evil, and I just don't... Wake up. Wake up. Get your head out of your ass. You don't believe politicians could be this evil. What the hell are you thinking? You don't think governments could be this evil. The number one killer of humanity in the 20th century was governments. Mao, Hitler, Stalin, Lenin, Pol Pot, in the Uganda, in Uruguay, all these countries, these dictators killed tens of millions. And if you put them all together, hell, you put Mao and Stalin and Lenin together, they killed over 120 million people just between the three of them. And the rest of these little piss-poor dictators put together between all these wars, they've killed over 200 million people died in the last century at the hands of government. And people, oh, I just can't believe, you know, we're America. We're the shining beacon of light through the whole world, liberty and freedom. Guys, there's 190 countries on the planet Earth, and the United States has 130 bases in 130 different countries. Wake up. We are imperialistic, and we've sold the lie to ourselves to try to convince ourselves that we're not. You know, and what are we trying to, you know, and the dollar is the world's reserve currency right now, and six out of the eight G8 nations want to get rid of it. Yeah, this is a country coming undone. This is a country coming undone, and it started with 9/11. It absolutely started with 9/11 because then the American people proved to the New World Order masters that we will believe anything. We will believe anything. We will buy anything. You just sell us a lie. We're on board. We support the left. We support the right. Bush was an asshole. Here comes Obama. He's got change. He ain't changed nothing. He's lied about everything he said he was going to do. He socialized the car industry. He wants to socialize health care. They want to pass a $1 trillion cap and trade bill that's going to raise taxes through the roof. One fourth of American people are unemployed or working a part-time job right now, can't pay their bills, and they're raising the cost of everything. They're raising the cost of gas, they're raising the cost of food. They're passing all these bills through the Congress right now. And all of it is designed to do one thing. It is the destruction and the ultimate undoing of free American society. If you don't believe me, look at the news. Look at the news this week. Look at what they were just saying about Obama's civilian military corps. They just gave $600 billion to start a civilian military corps. Halliburton's been building FEMA camps all around this country for the last 15 years. Halliburton, it's on record. They've gone public and said, yeah, we've been building internment camps around America. Why? Why? Why are they building camps to hold citizens? Why are they doing that? Why are they starting a civilian military corps? Why have they picked so many fights around the world? Because they're emptying the American military and dumping them abroad. They're picking fights with Afghanistan. They're doing illegal things in Pakistan. Iran, they're getting ready to mess with them. They're going to set up a 50,000 troop base in Iraq, a permanent base. A permanent base in Iraq to watch over the OPEC, Bush, Bin Laden oil fields that they all now own. Yeah, that's right. The 9/11 did a bunch of things. The military-industrial complex made a shitload of money. The Wall Street gangster banksters, Zionist New World Order puppet masters made hundreds of billions of dollars. The Patriot Act was not an act for abroad terrorists. It was to domestically spy on the American people, strip our civil liberties, piss on the Constitution, and take away our freedoms and our rights systematically, one pen stroke at a time, through an unconstitutional illegal bill that was passed out of fear. You terrorize somebody enough, you can get them to do whatever you want. It's fear. So then Halliburton's been building internment camps since the 90s. Now those are all done and built and ready to go. Now Obama has got one of the lowest approval rates. His approval rating is almost as low as Bush's was when all these terrorist attacks happened 8 years ago. And you'll see it again. You'll see it again either through the swine flu BS or the an outbreak or a national pandemic. Forced vaccinations, another false flag terror attack is going to happen because they can't push their agenda through until they get it to happen. All these things, they happened before and they're happening again. History has taught one lesson ever since man started recording. It will always repeat itself. the bad will repeat itself and the good will repeat itself too. And right now it is bad. There's an evil, dark, sinister cloud that hangs over this country that people still can't see. They don't want to see it. They don't want to believe that these things are real. But if you stick your head in the sand, your ass still gets caught in the tornado. I mean, that's what people don't understand. 9/11 was the worst false flag terror attack that ever happened in the history of this country. But it won't be the last. And it won't be the worst. There'll be one that's even worse. And the people that know about it are going to stand up and speak and yell and speak against these things and let these puppet masters know we will not go quietly into the night. We will expose your terror. We will expose your corruption. We will expose your lies. We will fight with every breath that we have, every breath that we take. We will not go out like this. You will not put your tyranny on me and my family and my children and my future generations. I will fight you. I will fight you to my dying last breath. And when you come, and you might take out one of us, but 10 more are going to pop up in that place. The American people will not go out without a fight. The American patriots will not go out without a fight. Pick and choose your battles wisely, New World Order, because I'm going to tell you something right now. Tens of millions of Americans are waking up. This is one of the most heavily armed nations. This is the most heavily armed nation in the world, in the history of the world. You think we're just going to lay down and not fight? You think you're going to run all over us and kill us and murder us and drag us into the street? You got another thing coming, buddy. The consciousness of the American people is awakening. They are waking up slowly, but it is happening and it's gaining more ground. And more people are starting to see that these politicians are lying and that they're bought and paid for and that the Federal Reserve is a private corporation that has been bilking and milking this country for dozens of years. And this is just absolutely insanity. And I want the people to know that we will not lay down and we will not take it without anything. You will have to fight us, and we're not going to just go peacefully and quietly into the night. Guys, it's all about evil, and this is one of the worst forms of evil that this world has ever faced, because they've kept it secret, and it's corrupted and rotted this country from the inside out. But this country is basically a house that's been ate up with termites. I mean, we're living in an old shattered shell of what we used to be, and we invited them in. We invited them in and just let them go at it. I mean, that we've done this to ourselves, but now what will we do? What will we do? How will we stand up? How will we fight? What is your charge? What is your responsibility in this movement? I'm getting ready to leave here in a few minutes, and I'm going to drive down to a town about 30 miles from where I live, and some of the people in our group, you know, we've burned hundreds of DVDs we're going to hand out, and we're going to hand out literature, and we're going to hand out pamphlets, and we're going to hand out on street corners to people. You know, this is what you have to do. If you're just sitting at home and you're an internet patriot, perfect. My name is Justin Priam. This is Eternal
Business. I'm wrong. Should have done better than this. Please, I'll be strong. I'm finding it hard to resist. So show me what I'm looking for.
Show me what I'm looking for.
Welcome to Eternal Vigilance. I am your host, Justin Prim. You are listening to ForAllOfUs.com. Thank you for joining me this morning. Thank you for joining me in the rebroadcast whenever this gets downloaded. Today's the day for me. We'll be going to the protest about 30, 40 miles here from where I'm living and down in Statesville, North Carolina. And the protest starts at 12, so I won't be doing 2 hours today. I'm just going to do one. The anniversary of 9/11 was yesterday, so today's topic is going to be 9/11 was an inside job. Unfortunately, I only have an hour to talk about this. But in this hour, I'm going to lead you through a little bit of a personal experience with the events of that day. And we'll just talk about some of the events, some of the facts, some of the myths, some of the propaganda that's been on the TV here lately, some of the movies that have covered this event, the researchers that are covering this event, the documentary filmmakers that have covered this event, and basically what this means to the American people and what this means into the history of the world. This was the... This was one of the worst things that ever happened in humanity, I believe. And one of the reasons I do believe that is not because of the loss of life. The loss of life was only 3,000 people. You know, there were more people that died at, you know, the Battle of Gettysburg than that day. But the propagation of what happened that day is just absolutely awful. I mean, the all the rights that were taken away, all the things that are going to be, that were born out of this absolute farce and atrocity. What you really have to do is, if you don't know 9/11 was an inside job, I guess the best thing to do is to start